Sir, we promised you a great main event here tonight.
WrestleMania!
WrestleMania is running wild!
Midge.
Male.
Mushroom.
Midge.
It's still rooted.
Midge.
Male.
Mushroom.
Midge.
It's still rooted.
Delicious chicken.
It was Rapop.
It's professional. Wrestling.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is professional wrestling, and it's time for the number one professional wrestling podcast in the world, sports and recreation included. It is Cheap Heat. I am Peter Rosenberg, brought to you today with, as always, Bear the Dog in the house, and more, and more importantly, S to the G to the G. How you doing, SGG?
Oh, yeah, I'm doing great, P. How you doing?
Doing good, man. Doing good.
With an exclusive world premiere of our brand new blockbuster.
I have drops here that I know you can't hear. I wish I could figure out how to get you to hear the drops through this, but I don't think I can. So if you hear me pause randomly like that, it's because I'm playing a drop. But I'm good. Real quick, before we get started, I do want to send people to Ariel Helwani's MMA podcast. A lot to break down in the world of MMA right now. The so-called retirement of Conor McGregor, UFC 250, Fight Island is now official. So there's a lot going on. If you want to catch up on all things MMA, listen to Ariel Helwani's MMA podcast. SGG, I wore this shirt today in honor of not only where things are in the world, but also Mark Henry's birthday.
Nice. We are the nation. Do we have a Nation of Domination drop?
You know, I can get the Nation theme song. Give me a second. I can get the Nation of Domination theme song.
That we need.
We are the Nation.
Domination.
Someone at some point, I forget what the moment was, someone threw up an Owen Hart tweet that was very funny. About being an ally. And it showed Owen Hart as the Black Heart
with the Nation.
You were just mentioning to me before we started the program. I have an announcement first. First of all, if you ordered a Hot Dog Chicken Showdown shirt, listen closely. For some reason, the shirts look tremendous. They look really great. And they've all gone out, but it's been a debacle. We've just had bad luck and a couple of weird things happened. So number one, if you got your shirt, please check your email to see if you got an email from anyone at Rosenberg Radio, because essentially in an all time congratulations, you played yourself. Something happened with the Shopify and PayPal. And there was some glitch, and they ended up refunding everyone who bought a shirt, but all the shirts have already been shipped. So I trust that literally every one of the people who bought a shirt, and this was super limited. I mean, listen, I want to give it up for the people. I believe we sold 53 Hot Dog Chicken Showdown shirts. And
that's a good number. For a week?
I think I ended up keeping up for 2 weeks, but really, when you think about how niche the Hot Dog Chicken Showdown shirt is,
legendary.
I mean, it's inside. It's an inside joke in an inside joke in an inside joke. So I love all the 53 people who bought it, and I assume that all of you will not want us to have to lose money on the shipping and everything else. So if you can check your email, a lot of people already repaid it, and I appreciate you. But just check your emails, because my buddy Mark probably sent you an email just asking you to repay. But either the shirts will be in your hand right now, and then we had another bit of bad luck with half the one shipped, the shipping amount was wrong, and they bounced back, so those are going out Monday. So everyone in the next week will have their Hot Dog Chicken Showdown shirts. I don't want anyone to think, because I got emails, I don't want anyone to think there's any funny style business. Before you know it, we'll all be posting pictures on Instagram with our Hot Dog Chicken Showdown shirt. So no one fear. It's all coming. It's all good. And shout out to my man Mark, who's just caught some bad breaks here. And he does a great job. The shirts look tremendous. Shouts to Rob Pearson, did a great job designing them. And we have more. I think I'm going to do a more mainstream general shirt SGG in the next few months.
Coming soon.
Yeah, we'll do a new design. And actually, I got put on to a new way of doing merch in general that I think is going to be way easier. And we're going to do that soon. And then also, I'm curious for people to tweet us at Rosenberg Radio, at Stack Guy Greg. You can always email at rosenbergbeats@gmail.com. Would people be interested in Cheap Heat masks? Because I have a friend who's hooking up some amazing looking masks. So we could do a couple different ones. We could do ones that just have the old logo Cheap Heat. We could do ones that say Stay Mage. We could do ones that say Enjoy Yourself.
Enjoy Yourself.
I mean, there's Take It Easy. So if, let me know if you guys have an interest in Cheap Heat masks. I'm considering doing those. I think she sells them for something like $12.99 plus shipping. But I have them. I have, she actually made me a WWE one. So it's a bootleg. Sorry, WWE. Don't worry. It's just one. And then she made me a Wu-Tang one, also bootleg, cause she makes them personalized. Whatever you tell her you want, she can do. I gotta tell you, they're really good masks. Fit pretty well, comfortable, pretty thick, but not too thick. So anyways, that's the business to handle. And then SGG, you were just talking to me about the guy who came from my neck on Twitter yesterday. And
Clown.
And then ended up singing a different tune today. But I really do think this was an interesting. I just got off the phone with my therapist, and we spent a lot of time talking about this whole thing. And my therapist is a guy who is always pushing me to be the best version of myself. Even in, you know, difficult situations. And so basically I had a guy who came at my neck yesterday on Twitter,
which is putting it lightly, by the way.
You know, he specifically got anti-Semitic, hit me with a Jew boy, and then said, "You better pray you don't see me on the street," something like that. So pretty pretty not cool stuff, to say the least. And oh wow, hold on, there's an update. Anyway, so I didn't feel like I should have to hold this to myself. I felt like me being attacked for my views on Black Lives Matter and being attacked. And I looked, if you went back, I don't know if you looked at SGG on his account, he had commented, he'd come at me like 50 times, like obsessive. And so I retweeted him. And SGG, you know, the peckerheads came for him.
Yeah.
Now,
rightfully so.
Now, I didn't. All I really expected was that people would kind of shout him down. I did not do that under the guise of like I want people to give his address or anything like that. Like I know people do that. That's just not what I was looking for in that circumstance, right? Like I was just being like, I just want him to be shown how wrong he was, and that's mostly what happened. But a couple people like called out his business, something like that. Whatever. It's not like I lost sleep over it.
Yeah, not your problem.
But it wasn't what I was going for. Then today he sends me a DM that says, you don't blow up someone's personal name. You want to go back and forth with me, no problem. I can't stand what's going on with this country just like you. Apparently we have different viewpoints. Take the post down, would be appreciated, because your wonderful followers are attacking me left and right. I have a business. You don't attack a man's livelihood. Funny, because he had definitely attacked my livelihood.
Not only that, his username was his name, so he made himself very easy to find.
Correct. And I did not Google your name.
Yeah.
He said, "You're attacking a man's livelihood. I don't have my followers attacking your personal life or job." Well, no, but you just came after my.
You did it.
You did that yourself.
You did it yourself.
I'm assuming you knew this would happen. Not cool. Remove the post, please. It can all be over. You won't hear from me again. This is out of hand now. You made your point. You could have just bought me or reported me. Thanks. So,
you know what's crazy? I didn't hear the apology though. Where's the apology?
Did he say sorry? Hold on. No, he never said sorry. So let's continue. So after talking to my therapist was kind of like, you know, do you think that there's any good that can come from a conversation with him, from this person? And keep in mind, guys, I've been hearing from a lot of hateful people every day. This just happens to be one person who went to a place that I addressed it. And this becomes a really interesting conversation about what things can be done with people who are who you deeply disagree with. And then what about, it goes more than disagree with, people who just say terrible things and right. are hurtful and racist and whatever. And then, you know, on probably the least extreme end, you know, I think you have the people who, you know, and I'm not trying to give a pass here because it's not good. But I would say maybe you have like Drew Brees on one end, where you have someone who maybe if you have the right conversations could change their viewpoint. And then on the other end, you have people who are just coming out screaming the N-word, right? Like that's kind of the scale. And I think we would agree that, or no, maybe not. Maybe you won't agree. I personally feel that someone like Drew Brees is worth having conversation with. And then there are some people further along that I go, nope, at this point, there's no conversation to be had. It's just, this is what it is. I don't know where this guy falls. So I just thought I will write back because I want to see if something positive can come from it. And I'm always willing to push, especially after I completely backed you down and made you look like a fool.
Right.
So I responded to him, SGG.
Oh, man. I didn't know this.
This is private. I just did it recently, just a little while ago. I said, you probably won't believe this, but I did not intend for anyone to out you. Just thought people would yell at you, which you deeply deserved. I'm sure it will pass if it hasn't already. Your business will be safe, but I did not out your name. I simply retweeted your public posts. You now say that you want to have a dialogue, and we have different views. Yesterday, it was all kinds of Jew talk and praying I don't see you. If you want to talk, that's not how you start a conversation. I'm sorry you felt attacked. I hope you learn to respect people's differences and appreciate the feelings and pain of people different than you. And I know you're probably mad at me that I said I'm sorry and he never even said I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I know you're tight about that. I know you're tight about that. I didn't think about that. He just wrote me back. Oh my God. Hold on. He just wrote me back.
Is the post as psychotic as I imagined?
No. What it's going to get is the legitimate SGG laugh that people come here for. The reason when people need a laugh this weekend, something to feel good about, this laugh that SGG is going to get here is what it is. I would love to clear the air with you and appreciate you contacting me. This is a huge misunderstanding. Wait. My Twitter account was hacked.
What?
No, he didn't. No, he didn't. No, he didn't. You did not just do it.
I see.
Uh-huh. But you know what? That's the move.
But like, even if you
don't want to own it, that's the move. But
I'm sorry.
Even if you have 200 followers? Well, let's keep going. Can we keep going? Let's keep going. I had to delete that and a couple of other accounts. My stupidity. I use the same password. I'm no wacko or crazy guy or wear a white hoof. I assume he means white hood.
Hood.
LOL, I run a very reputable business. We don't believe in racism in any way, nor does anyone who works for me. Would you be willing to call me to discuss? Thank you. This has been a nightmare this morning because of a hack. I have your followers calling, threatening me, my company, my family, all because of a hack. It could
be nobody's doing that. Also,
No one's doing that. No one's calling. Do you believe of the people? Do I believe someone could have called the number and said, "Go F yourself"? Yeah, maybe. Because barely anyone saw the number. Like one guy posted that deep in the comments. Like I don't even think that people are doing that, and they're threatening your family. Come on, man. No one's threatening your family. He said, all because of a hack. It could be a disgruntled employee. I've had many people work for my corporation, but about a few months ago, I had to let an employee go because of the virus. He wasn't happy. Maybe it's coincidental. I'm extremely sorry for any misunderstanding, but please take down that tweet or whatever you call it. As I stated, I was hacked. They are killing my business, writing reviews and comments on my pages. I in no way condone racism or the use of racial slurs. I just want to make that clear. So this is what happens, man. I tried. Oh, yeah. I tried, and I would have just wanted to say, hey, I said some foul stuff. If you're willing to have a conversation, can I express my views? And I might have said, yeah.
He bypassed all of that.
He jumped right into,
I was hacked.
Come on,
fam.
And this
is what you can do for me.
I was hacked. Yo, man. Damn. You tried, though. I tried. I can't, but I am amused now, at least, that he went straight to the I was hacked. And by the way, the tweets are already deleted, bro. He deleted the tweets. He deleted his account. People aren't going to keep calling him. Calm down. These people are not, I do not believe that the people on Twitter who were angry in my defense are coming at you that hard. Give it till tomorrow.
Nobody's threatening your family.
No one's threatening your life. And guess what? And by tomorrow, you won't hear about it anymore. You'll start your thing back up and the racists you serve will be happy enough to come to your business.
Exactly.
So anyways, but SGG, I bring this up because I do wonder, we're going to come to a point of, you know, deciding the people that we think it's worth it to have conversations with and the people that you go, it's not worth it. I don't want to hear from you. You know, like in the case of Randy Orton, we were all very happy to hear. We said, oh, we believe it's possible that you have evolved.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we didn't have any real one ever thing that Randy had said all we'd kind of heard was that he was right wing, no?
Yeah, and I mean, he did say all lives matter.
Oh, and he had said all lives matter at some point. Okay. So, but listen, you know, I gotta tell you the amazing thing about black people and about, I think, progressive people in general and particularly progressive black people is, the ability to be willing to listen and forgive if you actually sense sincerity and willingness to learn.
Not if you were hacked, bro.
But not when you come with the I was hacked.
Yeah.
F out of here, B. Come on. What a disgrace. Hacked. Are you?
Welcome to the shoot, Arrow Baby.
Come on.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Anyway, so that was just an intro that has nothing to do with anything. SGG, we have Backlash on Sunday.
Yes.
We had an NXT TakeOver this past weekend. What did you think of TakeOver?
I enjoyed it. I mean, one thing I did notice, though, is that you need the crowd for TakeOvers. I've definitely been preaching that the crowd is not necessary.
Interesting.
And that you don't need the crowd and that you don't lose much not having the crowd. But TakeOver, you definitely noticed it. You felt it. Even with the stand-ins, like, there's just no replacing.
You think you're better with those stand-ins? You think you're better off with those stand-ins or leaving it the way it was and doing a great job with a sound engineer of adding audio that makes sense?
I think the stand-ins, because, like, if you add the audio that makes sense, it's as much as they try to say sports entertainment and that they do Raw and SmackDown, like, TV shows more so than sports presentations, That would be a bridge too far because the crowd adds that authenticity.
But I will say, man, that I've noticed on AEW when they add a little bit of sound there. Now, granted, they've had people in the crowd too, but they are also lightly piping in sound and it makes a difference. I think the dead air and people just yelling and it's completely dead air under it, you miss the murmur. There's always a murmur of a crowd.
Right.
When there are thousands of people together, if they're not loud cheering, you still hear them. There's talking. So I'm not saying that would have made all the difference in the world, but I wish that in addition to having the stand-ins, they piped in, even if they don't do fake this is awesomes or anything like that, you don't need that. But if you could just pipe in that murmur constantly, like they do it for soccer events, like they do it for games sometimes, like if it's being, the commentary is being done here and the game's being played elsewhere and their sound goes out, they'll just pipe in sound. Because a soccer game has a sound, you know, we all know that sound, you know, you can do a football game and we know how it gets louder on third down on defense in the home crowd. You know that you want to pump up that sound on third down. Like, so anyways, interesting to hear you say that though, SGG, that the TakeOver was the most noticeable it was for you.
Yeah, they definitely need it. Now, still a good show. I still enjoyed the matches. I have no complaints about any of that. But like I said, that's just not having the crowd, you felt it.
What was the match of the night?
For me, I think the main event. Charlotte, Io, and Rhea.
And
it definitely came through.
I agree, by the way. I think it was the match of the night. And how'd you feel about the result?
You know, I thought it was very soon for having Charlotte beat Rhea and then just drop it at the very next takeover. That sort of doesn't make any sense to me, the decision to have Charlotte be the transitional champion. But at the same time, it's Charlotte. And I think NXT is better off for having her come down there and just like sort of reinvigorate that women's division.
I agree. Also, what do you think about, you know, Dipperstein was irate, obviously. Let's see if we...
What was his?
He was irate that a heel got the confetti.
Well, no, it's Japanese, though. Like, it's a Japanese thing. So, like, it doesn't play into, like, your babyface heel dynamics. It's a show of respect for the skill level. And, I mean, you can't call her the genius of the sky. You can't put a championship on her. And you can't say that she's atop the best women's division or one of the best women's divisions in the world, but then also say that she is not deserving of the confetti and the streamers too, because it wasn't just confetti; it was streamers
Thank
too.
Thank you, SJ. You know what?
What ties in the?
Oh, I'm sorry.
The cultural.
So that is a really good thing to point out that was. So you believe that was strictly out of Japanese tradition. And not about her status, heel or babyface.
Yes. Yep.
I enjoyed that match a lot. I think they have chemistry. Listen, they're all very, very, you're talking about in Charlotte and Rhea, that thing could go on for years. Like my guess is we are going to see chapters of Charlotte and Rhea.
Yeah, they got mileage on. They got a lot that they could do with that.
And then Io's pretty damn good too. But yeah, I will say it was a good show. The matches themselves were all enjoyable. Did you enjoy Dream and Cole?
I did. I was hoping for more.
It felt a little, if Edge and Randy went, I know you think it was the perfect length, but if for those of us who think Edge and Randy went too far, you feel like Cole and Dream maybe was a little short.
Yeah. And also like, they sort of set a bar with the cinematic matches that I don't think either the NXT matches, Tommaso Ciampa and Johnny Gargano and now this one. I don't think those managed to reach, cause you think about like the Boneyard match and the Firefly Funhouse, you know, very different matches, but once you hear a match is getting a cinematic treatment, you sort of on the edge of your seat.
Let's be real though. Those ones probably got a lot more money too. I mean, Funhouse definitely did.
Funhouse had like a movie budget.
they had to spend some dough on the Funhouse. There's no way around it. By the way, speaking of which, I wonder if we'll see John Cena in the Black Power rankings this week, the Shad Gaspard Black Power rankings.
Yeah, I mean, listen, man, he definitely, that donation, and for people who haven't heard, I guess, you know, John Cena donating $1 million to Black Lives Matter.
Now, this comes on the heels of Cena giving like, what was it, 100 grand or 60 grand to Chad Gaspard's family?
It was $40,000 and it was on the GoFundMe. It was a listing, it was listed as CTC RIP. And for those who don't remember, CTC was Crime Time C Nation, which was him with Crime Time as their little short lived faction. So when people saw CTC RIP and then the amount, and then he posted a picture of the three of them from, you know, vandalizing JBL's limo. And so it was like, oh, this has to be, you know, it has to be John Cena who's responsible for this hefty, hefty, hefty donation to the family.
Yo, John Cena has 13.8 million followers on Instagram. He's following zero, by the way. He's one of those.
Yeah.
Following zero, 13.8 million. And he That's just, wild. and he just posts, you know, the weirdest stuff imaginable. Have you ever looked at it?
What makes it weird? Yeah, of course. What makes it weird too is that it's all like open for interpretation. Like there's no captions. You just get the post and then you can think whatever you want to think about it, which, you know, great for him because then he doesn't have to explain himself really. And it leaves a lot of it just open to interpretation of the fans. But, you know, some of it,
wow, he's
needs no explanation.
And he's been going hard.
The Stone Cold Stop Racism post.
Yeah.
You know, needs no explanation.
He went Kaepernick. He had a Kaepernick kneeling post. He had the Do the Right Thing movie cover post. The Blackout Tuesday joint. A Ben and Jerry's Justice ice cream thing. Ray Charles, Georgia on my mind. Sam Cooke, Change Gonna Come.
Yeah, he's not playing.
Then he hit with the... That's interesting. He also posted BTS Army matched the group's $1 million Black Lives Matter donation.
Yeah, he's famously like a big fan of that band, BTS, which
is weird.
I don't know how or why, but he is. Maybe it has something to do with his work with Nickelodeon and his, you know, seen a lot of kids. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know how or why, but yeah, I have to imagine that them donating what they did is what made him decide to like match it.
And then I don't know, SGG, if you saw the tweet that I reposted, but it was such a good tweet from a random person who said, someone on Twitter said, John Cena is who Hulk Hogan wanted us to believe he was.
Yep, so true.
John Cena is like the real life Hulk Hogan. The character, yep. Hulk Hogan, is John Cena, the person. Mm-hmm. And it's true.
That's why I said in the group chat, you know, if John Cena can have Hogan's spot on whatever rankings and Rushmores and anything that anybody put, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, listen,
John Cena can take it.
It's interesting with Cena. You know, I love him. I love Cena the guy. And I love things about him as a wrestler. And then, you know, I've really sort of come to really dislike Hogan the guy.
right.
And yet I enjoy his actual, and listen, some of it's going to be era, right? Like some of the Hogan stuff, it's just what we grew up with. But like, you know, Hogan's best trait, in my opinion, in the ring, maybe Cena's worst trait. I wish Cena could just take that one thing and then I could just, yeah, I could make the arguments for him wrestling wise that I would want.
And what is that? What is that trait? I think I know where you're going, but
his ability to sell.
Yep.
Hogan the salesman. Okay. Like he is. The reason his character got over in spite of his limited wrestling and sort of his cheesy over-the-top character was that in those matches, when even though you knew it was going to happen, when the beatdown came, he was so good at selling it. And Cena has always struggled, for whatever reason, with sort of, you know, you never believe when he's getting beaten down that he's really completely beaten down.
Yeah, Super Cena's right around the corner.
It's all, like, you can see it, like, so, and yeah. I know it's nitpicky, and he's great. He's an all-time great. I love the guy. I'm literally just nerding out on the wrestling side of it. That's the one thing, like, I can deal with the fact that, you know, he has an offensive routine that's limited, cause guess what? So does a lot of the all-time greats. And his mic work is great too, but, The selling stuff really was to me the shortcoming of it all, and the fact that they never, you know, I wanted to see the character. I wanted to see one more version of his character. I would have loved, think about how unfair it is. We got to see heel Hogan for years in NWO. We never got to see it from Cena.
Now, does it matter that he was a heel first and then, like, rode the baby face wave, or do you want to see like another?
No, I needed him on top. I needed to see him on top as a heel.
Okay.
Even though, like, you know, listen,
Dr. Thugonomics was great though.
But also, was it really a heel though? Cause that's why he became a baby face is cause, but then again, you could argue that at the NWO also, and obviously on a different scale.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to see when Cena was on top. And obviously, you guys know this. If anyone's ever watched my interviews with him on YouTube, I asked him about it every time I ever talked to him. I mean, I was the embodiment of the fan who was waiting for the heel turn, which I would just love to hear him now be able to come out and honestly talk about it. Now that we're done waiting for it, I would love to hear, was there ever a time when it was close? And was there ever a time when he really lobbied for it? And was like, man, give me a shot. Let me just turn on these kids one time.
Well, didn't Chris Hero actually come on Cheap Heat and say that John Cena was thinking about it and that he had like a completely different gear and was gonna like
that's right
change his whole style up, and then for whatever reason it just fell apart at the last minute.
We need to get Chris Hero back on the podcast.
Yeah, I mean, he is a wrestling genius. I'll be very intimidated in even trying to have a conversation with.
Please, with you, that man. You came up under the great David Shoemaker.
This is true, but I mean, Chris Hero's on another level.
He's the man knows wrestling very, very well. He's great. We got to get Hero back on here. Anyways, that was another fun aside about John Cena being Mage and comparing him to Hulk Hogan. But as people. There is no comparison. John Cena is the GOAT, man. He is what a class act. And it was so meaningful from a wrestling standpoint. By the way, I spoke to someone this week who was incredibly hurt and disappointed by the response of Brandi Rhodes to what's been going on. Did you see any of that, SGG?
I did. I wouldn't say I was hurt and disappointed, but I did. Her response sort of fell short. It felt like, to me, that Brandi and Cody, I think they both sort of fell short. And you know, Brandi to me sounded like she just made it about herself a little bit.
That was the word. My friend who reached out to me, who was upset about it, she's a big fan of her, you know, and she's also a black woman who loves wrestling. And so she like has merch, Brandi merch, like she's a fan. And so when she read Brandy's take, which is sort of nuanced and long, and I'll let you guys go find it if you want. And I'm not in my spot as the white guy.
I don't think you can find it because I think it might have been deleted, but just to like simplify it for people, you know, Brandi in the context of these issues that have been going on that we spoke about last week and these conversations are continuing everywhere, but she first sort of centered Cody and her relationship in the context of these issues, which, you know, whether it's fair or unfair, it's what she did. And, you know, her perspective is based on that, like that influences what the way she sees things, but she sort of centered her relationship with Cody and then commented on the issues in a way that sort of made it about herself and not about like the, you know, the police brutality or like the shared struggle of black people, not just in America, but everywhere. And it was just like,
she made it about how people would react to what she said instead of simply saying about what you said, talking about the issue of police brutality and black people. That's because right. that is irrespective of your own experiences on social media. And listen, I'm sure she has gotten hate before, of course, right? Yeah. People, biracial couples, especially a public biracial couple, they're going to hear horrible things. It's sad, but true. And they will hear it from black people and white people. And it's sad. But I hear what you're saying. You wanted the comment to just be about the issue. And it was about sort of their, you know, it was almost like a picking right. sides thing based on what people have said to you on social media. And she ended up just basically laying out. And I'm not here to judge it, but my friend was bummed out. And, I understand it.
And Cody dropped the ball too. I mean, I'm trying to find his post, but I mean, Cody was also, I'll say Cody's was disappointing because when you think about who his pops is, it's like Dusty's kid. And I feel like maybe I'm talking out of turn or maybe I don't know as well as I think I do, but you sort of get the sense that the black community loved Dusty Rhodes and that Dusty loved the spec. And that, you know, if Dusty was around to comment on these situations, that it would not have come across in a way that made anybody feel like, you know, tokens or anything like that. And that Cody, who, you know, that's his father, like, that he's doing a lot of, I think, he's trying to follow in Dusty's footsteps in ways that are good. And then on this particular issue, it feels like he's falling short. And it's sort of disappointing from him too, because his whole mantra is like, do the work, do the work, do the work. But then when you bring up like a racial issue or something like that and raise it in reference to AEW or his personal stance, it doesn't feel like he's doing the work. It's just like he's trying to coast on his reputation as being Dusty's kid or Brandy's husband, and then his messaging too sorts of just falls short.
Yeah, that's I've found that as well. And also, he's the leader of a company,
right?
You know, and listen, it's hard. We're in a position right now where everyone's sort of judging everyone's responses. But listen, the bottom line is, if you're passionate about this subject, the expectation is that people step up now and push themselves more than ever before. That's what everyone's looking for. It's not going to make up for what's happened, but it could be the catalyst in real change. So when people say nothing or say the complete wrong thing, it's disappointing. It doesn't mean it's, in the case of Cody and Brandy, it doesn't mean it's not recoverable, but it's not what you wanted. It's not what people were hoping for, I guess. And you know, and by the way, I did think about AEW again this week too, because did Cracker Barrel sponsor their thing a while ago?
Yes, they did. Yes,
and
they did.
Did you see the Cracker Barrel story?
I did not.
There's a Cracker Barrel story about like alleged, like straight up like discrimination and segregation sort of practices in like 40 different Cracker Barrel restaurants. So I saw that. And then also, if you look at Cracker Barrel's account, they have not posted one thing about what's going on.
Well, also, if you look at Cracker Barrel's restaurant, like,
just from a branding standpoint?
Yeah, just looking, like, going to the inside. Now, don't get me wrong. I enjoyed Cracker Barrel food. I do. I'm not going to lie. But at the same time, like, you walk in that restaurant, it's just like stepping it back into an era where the food had to have been delicious, but everything else was just god awful.
You know, I've never been inside one. All those rest stops, I've never been inside a Cracker Barrel.
No, I have. I have. Delicious biscuits.
I'm upset that I missed the biscuits, because now that I'm hearing this, now it doesn't look like I'll be going.
Oh yeah, no, it's quiet for Cracker Barrel now.
I mean, they might have to change the name Cracker altogether.
Yeah.
They'll just be called The Barrel.
It's out of there.
Come on down to The Barrel. So SGG, are we going to see the greatest match ever this weekend? I mean, we're going to see the greatest kickoff show ever, because Peter Rosenberg and Scott Stanford are back. And if you guys missed the last one, let me just say one thing about the kickoff shows. I really enjoy working with Scott. If you're a peckerhead and you enjoy getting to watch me work, it's worth tuning into, because all he does is set me up to shine. That's all Scott does. It's like, introduces a match, Peter, go ahead. And I get to break everything down and have fun, and I bust his balls, and it's a good time. So tune into the kickoff show on YouTube or the network, wherever you watch. But yeah, SGG, so this weekend, greatest match ever, Edge, Randy Orton. I will say this, I obviously, you know, I hear greatest match ever. I find that the moniker and the idea to be sort of silly and repug. I did enjoy the peep show on Raw this past week, though. I liked seeing Christian, you know, trying to like get after Edge to get the best out of him.
You did.
I did. I thought it was like, at first I thought he was like actually going to be like acting like a heel. And I was like, what are they doing? Why would Christian be this way? But while it was a little cheesy, and again, I think all those things feel extra cheesy with the limited crowd. I liked the concept of Christian being like, now I don't know where it came from though. My problem is why? Why is Edge all of a sudden on fumes? Why is Edge not motivated to beat Randy Orton? He just beat Randy Orton. Okay.
Maybe that's why. That when it was all laid out on the line that he did beat Randy Orton.
But then they should set up.
Do I have to prove?
But then they should set up Edge to be like, to act like he's been chilling. They should show him on social media, like relaxing at home and eating and drinking and like, yo, you're chilling. You're acting like it's all good. You're playing with your kids. You're not training. Like they're not really doing that. They're just saying like, you don't have it anymore. I mean, he had it a month and a half ago.
Yeah. He had it a month and a half before that.
Yeah. I mean, he had it 2 months ago. Wow. It was already 2 months ago. Mania.
Damn.
Bruh. Quarantine. Crazy, guys. It's been over 2 months. Anyways, what do you think? Will we see the greatest match ever? Will we see a half great match? Will we see, what do you think? What's your expectation and best case scenario for this match?
So my expectation obviously is the greatest match ever because that's what they set it up, right? They want this to be like the best thing to happen inside a wrestling ring going back to the era before Christ. Now, I think they could get close. I'm not going to lie. Based on the talent in the ring, you know, Edge and Randy Orton, if there are two people that you want to saddle with that expectation and not have them worry about caving under pressure or even, you know, the match not living up to that expectation and them blaming it on the expectation that was set for them, it's Edge and Randy Orton because, I mean, first of all, Edge is a guy who's been like underrated, even still, I'll say, even to the day he retired, to the day he came back. But meanwhile, quietly strung together a more than impressive career. And then you have Randy Orton, who's just capable. Like he can turn it on. Like we all see it. We can tell when he's bored, and we can tell when he's in there with the guy that he respects and with the guy who's like inspiring him to be his best. Because when he's in there with that, then you get some of the best that you ever seen out of Randy Orton. So I think him and Edge together, they could get close. Now, will it be Hart Austin at WrestleMania 3 or Undertaker Shawn Michaels or you know, Sasha Bailey at TakeOver or Savage Steamboat? I don't know. But could it be like in the conversation for match of the year, maybe best match of the last 10 years? Possibly if they do what we know they could do.
Well, SGG, what is my highest hope? Listen, there's no crowd, okay? If they somehow pull off something that we even put in a conversation, that we even jokingly are like, maybe it was the grid. If that even ends up in a conversation right. with Undertaker, Shawn Michaels, or, you know, I don't know. I'm not going to even mention some of the matches that I consider. I'm not talking WrestleMania 10. I'm not, or 3. No. But if they were to even end up in a conversation like that, given the circumstance, it would be a gigantic success.
Yeah.
Like a crazed, over the top, they did something brilliant. Like, I'll put it this way. If they did that, they are saving this moment in wrestling. Or at least in WWE.
No, go ahead.
No, that's it. If they do that, if we come away being like, guys, that actually might be a top 10 match of all time, and they do it with no crowd in this circumstance, with this kind of build, we are going to come away like crediting them forever. It'll be the greatest thing they've ever done.
Yeah, and you know, we've been killing WWE for this greatest match ever, like hammering it in our heads. And just being like, there's no way they could live up to it. And now, like, they've said it so much And then when you think about that song that they play with it, that they don't have to, it doesn't have to be the greatest match ever. Just like you said, it's going to be like a complete mind F where like they called it the greatest match ever. And as long as it's not an awful match, it could probably be like considered, yo, this was a fire top 10 match that we'll always talk about.
I think it would have to be better than not awful. It would have to be at least very good.
No, if it's better than, I mean, if it's not awful, then like, obviously people could start convincing themselves. And then if it's very good, people will be like, damn, it was the greatest.
But at the same time, like, I could see it going the if it's simply a solid match, but nothing, it doesn't have a moment of greatness. It's just a solid, like, you know, it could have been a match that they would have had at Backlash 2007. I think people could end up being really disappointed and being like, that was trash.
But I think people are not expecting it to be the greatest, though. That's the thing. Like, people.
But what about the people? What if there are? What if people heard it so much and they're like, "Yo, this is going to be really crazy," and then they get nothing? If it's not,
that's true.
You're going positive. What if it goes the other way? If they don't see greatness, they're going to be like, "That was garbage. It was just."
I feel bad for those six people.
You mean the people who actually believe it?
Yeah. I feel bad for those.
I would like though for them to somehow do something special, because the bottom line is this. I know it's just marketing, but by choosing to market it as the greatest wrestling match ever, to those of us who actually care about what the greatest wrestling match ever is, those are real words. Those words, mm-hmm. Those words count. They mean mm-hmm. something. And what
else? Is your greatest match ever? Do we?
I always say Savage Steamboat. But you know, honestly, the more I watch and the more I think about it, that's like my childhood greatest match ever. I like so many matches, man. I'll tell you what. I know this sounds crazy because I like matches for different things. Yesterday I watched, I've been watching the Rapug era of Manias, like 22 and beyond. And yesterday I was watching 24. I love Flair HBK. What Flair was capable, what HBK was capable of getting out of Flair in that match. So it got to a point where by the end, you didn't think Flair would win, but it seemed credible. And then that moment, because we always talk about the I love you, I'm sorry. The I'm sorry, I love you.
Yeah.
But what you don't talk about before the I'm sorry, I love you is that in the seconds before Shawn says that, Flair is crying. I think literally crying.
I think he is literally crying.
And he's standing in the ring like this, falling over, like, come on, come on. And he looks like their whole story they did of old Yeller. And Shawn Michaels said they loved that dog. Oh, Shawn was so good there. Shawn. They loved that dog, but they had to take him outside and put him down. And then when you think about that old, and Flair goes, old Yeller, and slaps him across the face. When you think about that old Yeller imagery, and then you see the old dog in the ring with his hands in the air, like, come on, come fight me. But you feel bad for him because you're like, he's finished. It really makes the what Shawn does at the end that great. My point is, the wrestling in it is cool, but what makes a match great, right? It's the feeling. It's the actual work in the match. The crowd reaction, the story overall. So I love Hogan Rock a lot. I find it to be so fun. I love any of the three Austin Rocks. I love Brett and Owen at 10. I love Razor and Shawn at 10.
I feel like Razor and Shawn at 10 is overrated only because the SummerSlam joint was better. Like leaps and bounds, like way better.
Oh, I'm glad you mentioned that. Speaking of which, I love Brett and Davey Boy at Wembley. I love Hogan Andre. I always talk Savage Steamboat because of the beautiful wrestling. But in terms of a mood being set and the story culminating the right way in which it literally hits the absolute maximum crescendo. You talk about pressure for a match. They built that whole thing around that for a year. Not a year. That had only been going for 3.5 months at that time. But they built this huge pay-per-view at 93,000 people, whatever. Let's say at minimum 85,000 people, right?
It's still not bad.
It's the biggest thing ever. It's the last match. Andre can barely move. You add all those things up, and then you take a look at what that shot looks like when the ref hits three. I mean, you can't ask for more than that.
Yeah.
So like
they got exactly what they were looking for.
I love a lot of matches. So there's so many matches that I love. What about you, SGG?
Oh man, obviously, you know, Brett and Owen, Brett Davey, Brett Austin is probably for me.
Brett,
because whenever I think about like my favorite match, like the greatest, there's four that always sort of trade their spot and revolve around.
What, do you let Brett lose in any of those? Because then you'd include the Iron Man match.
The Iron Man match is pretty good, but I think about Brett Austin, Savage Steamboat, like you said, Sasha Banks and Bayley at that first takeover in Brooklyn, I think was just like phenomenal.
And then again, and that's another one where a huge part of it is story culmination and crowd and what it does to the crowd.
Yeah. And I feel like they just really put like modern women's wrestling on the map. Like no disrespect to Trish, Lita, anybody that came before them, but those two, what they did in Brooklyn is just like unprecedented. And of course that first Shawn Michaels Undertaker match, probably just flawless in all the categories that you want to look at, like build, everything.
That Austin Brett, that's a very good call that absolutely deserves to be in the conversation. I could talk about
the perfect matches.
I need to spend, you know, at some point I need to go away on a retreat and spend a solid 3 days thinking of the best matches. That's it. 3 days and then come back with the master list. And I don't think I could, rank them. I mean, the numbers, it's like those, it was like when we were doing those MC rankings. At some point they become silly, you know, but to at least just list them. Now, SGG, are you looking forward to anything else at Backlash?
I feel like just really that greatest match ever is what I have my eye on, just because they hammered it into my head so much. And, you know, Bobby Lashley gets Drew McIntyre. I don't expect Bobby Lashley to get the win, so I'm not quite looking forward to it. Although I do think that those guys are going to put on, an impressive match.
I wish that the crowd was around. I'd be curious to see how Lashley would appear right now, because between MVP and the full Nelson, it does feel like a new guy.
Yeah.
Only thing he could use is like some sort of gear change, though I don't know what it would be.
He already ditched the headband. That's not enough for you?
It was a good start.
Okay, all right.
Let's hit a couple of mailbags.
Welcome to the shoot, Arrow Baby.
Let's hit a couple of mailbags before we go.
Mail.
Kobe, Klein Kobe, or Kobe Klein, I can't tell, writes us and says, one lighthearted question, one serious. First, the serious, I simply ask, could you please not stop talking about things that are more important than wrestling on Cheap Heat? I need to hear what you have to say, especially SGG. If there were a moment to not just stick to sports, this is it. Now, you've talked a lot about wrestling Mount Rushmores, and I'd like to hear your Mount Rushmore of promos. I have three locks in mind. Flair, Piper, and Austin. For number four, I can't decide. Is it Shawn Michaels? Is it Jake the Snake? Is it Dusty, The Rock, Mick Foley, CM Punk? I hate to say it, but it might be Chris All Lives Matter Jericho. He's certainly the best promo active in the business right now. Thoughts? Don't take it easy, man. That's a great, thank you, Kobe. It is Kobe. Well, Flair and Piper, I feel, are guarantees for me.
Yeah. Same.
I think that, and you know, both of them had the same flaw. both Flair and Piper, when they go too far, can be a bit, they can lose it. They can go a little bit over the top where they lose control a little, and it's like, that's at their worst, which isn't often. At their best, they can just go and go and get you to believe anything. I think Flair and Piper are the two best.
I mean, that three is pretty solid. It really is just about who that fourth. Flair, Piper, and Austin.
Austin's great too. You know, Austin's tough because as the years went on, the crowd got so involved. That it's almost like he didn't necessarily wasn't able to use the same kind of range. Like, that's why I would put Jake in the range. You know, Jake's ability to be quiet in a promo, you know, is
having you hanging on every word.
Yeah, that to me is special. I mean, I guess it doesn't count, but we got to say, in his heel days, Vince could cut a hell of a promo.
Yeah.
Vince would.
It's a shame too. Vince doesn't count on any of these Rushmores because, like, he could do most of it. I wouldn't say he could wrestle, but
no. When it comes to cutting a promo, Vince would start when, like, in the we're talking prime Attitude Era days when the show would start, it would instantly go to No Chance, and he would come out and start the show just ripping on whoever. He was pretty great. That was a great email, Kobe. Thank you. Ghost Rider writes us here.
Mail.
First time writer, long time fan. The Undertaker last match should be a Firefly Funhouse match. In the match, Taker is greeted by Brother Love, since Brother Love brought him into the WWF. Instantly, the Undertaker is wearing the original outfit and the fun begins. Through the process of the match, every incarnation of the Undertaker is showed and confronted by Muscle Man Bray, Eater of Worlds Bray, Mr. Rogers Bray, and The Fiend. There should be cameos for Bruce Pritchard as Brother Love, then morphs into Paul Bearer, Kane, Mankind, and Mr. McMahon to highlight all of his career. Bray should win, and Undertaker should pass the torch to Bray, and he is now the mystical character of WWE. Side note, Drew Gulak and Becky Lynch should join the Firefly Funhouse since they have legit career history of being professionally trained clowns. That would give us another Wyatt family and be a great return for absent Becky. Take it easy, man, and enjoy yourself.
Oh. I did not know that Drew Gulak also was a clown.
I didn't know Becky was a clown.
That's hilarious.
He says, former Bethesda resident currently working in Afghanistan, Ken. Thanks, Ken.
Yeah, I agree with that email, too. I think Undertaker is a perfect fit for the Firefly Funhouse, especially if they do it like Cena, the career retrospective squash.
That's the thing. If you get the career retrospective where you see every version of Undertaker and they bring up all the random things that have happened.
And all the mistakes. Whew, the Goldberg match is going to be a doozy.
Oh, like the bad moments yet. And you could even have Sting involved.
Yeah.
I will tell you, that was a great, I think a lot of people are going to love that idea. That's a very, very major idea. I know we only got to two emails, but I already got to wrap here. I will get some more emails next week. RosenbergBeats@gmail.com. We do love hearing from you guys. Your Hot Dog Chicken Showdown shirts are on the way. Go check your email for that email I was telling you about. Follow us, Rosenberg Radio, Stack Guy Greg, SGG. Do you have Shad Gaspard Black Power ranking?
I'm black, y'all, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm blacker than black, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm blacker than black, and I'm black, y'all. I'm blickety black, blacker than black, black. I'm blacker than black, yo, because I'm black and I'm black. Yo, I'm black and I'm black, y'all, and I'm blacker than black, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm blacker than black, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm blickety black, black, black.
Oh, yes, I do, indeed. In at number three, going with Bobby Lashley and MVP.
Together.
Feel like that pairing. Yeah, together. That pairing really reinvigorated Bobby Lashley's career, and it's taken him to a place that, you know, we can all enjoy it. I've always said this. Bobby Lashley, as impressive as he is in the ring, he needs someone on the mic to sort of shine him up a little bit. And I'm glad he has MVP, one of the best in the business right now.
Killing it.
Able to do that for him. And then number two, this is going to shock a lot of people, but I'm going with the Street Profits. I have
you
been
love the bowling.
Enjoying. I love the decathlon. I love the bowling. I love this, all those vignettes with the wow. Viking Raiders. I love that this feud has managed to go outside of the ring and also be fun. I think it's good for both teams. I'm all in on it. I loved it. They might have cheated that flip cup, but so what? And number one, I'm going Sasha Banks. Her and Bailey.
Okay.
Again, they're now two-time women's tag champions. They got their belts back. And again, I think sky's the limit for Sasha Banks and Bailey. Whether friend or foe, those two together always hit it out of the park. So Sasha Banks is coming in at number one.
Wow. This Debrastina is going to be disgusted by this.
This is not for him. This is the Black Power rankings.
But well, you brought in Bailey though, so
yeah. listen, it's the tag titles, man. She's in my association.
We can argue about Sasha Banks and Bailey next week. Everyone, check out the kickoff show on the WWE Network or YouTube on Sunday. SGG, I will talk to you Sunday. Everyone out there, keep fighting that fight. Keep telling the truth. Keep being safe, and enjoy yourself. Anything, SGG?
They got to keep staying mage. Always stay mage.
Yeah, that's true. And take it easy, or nah, whatever works for you right now.
Yeah, whatever you want to do.
It's professional wrestling.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the main event of the evening. At this time, I would like to introduce, in the corner to my left,
the majesty,
sweet, sweet Peter Rosenberg.
And then I went to makeup and, like, sat in front of the mirror a little bit and got myself together.
Also, ladies and gentlemen, at this time, I would like to introduce...
Shout out to that guy, Red.
Red Hart is the greatest professional wrestler in the history of the art form.
Midge.